Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. I have a mini little round table focused on the gold sector as well as on a company that we follow on our website and a company that I still think has a lot going for it. First and foremost, I am chatting with David Erfley. He is the founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. I also have Hugh Argo on the line with me. He is the president and CEO of Revival Gold. Revival is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol RVG and on the OTCQB under the symbol RVLGF. Guys, what I wanted to do here is get a little rundown, a little synopsis from both of you, taking a look at the precious metals sector, one from a newsletter writer and you, David, and one from company executive from Hugh. First and foremost, Hugh, you were chatting with us off mic, and you brought up a very interesting data point that I think needs to be shared and understood by everyone who is watching this sector, and it involves passive money that is in the gold sector, but again, it's in passive funds. Can you take us through some of this data, please?
Well, thanks for having me on the program, and it's great to be talking with you, Corey and David. This is a commonly understood problem in the industry right now. We've got a lot of passive ETF money that's invested in the mining space, in the gold space, and in the gold equities. And it kind of comes home for me when I spoke to an institutional fund manager down at the BMO conference a few weeks ago, and he said to me, "Look, there's $12 billion worth of ETF money in our space, and only $7 billion of managed money in the funds that I follow as my peers." And so, you know, the conclusion from that is that almost two-thirds of the money is passive in our sector. And it's rather shocking. It presents a lot of challenges for the managed money portfolios, but it also presents opportunity, I think.
I think it does too, but again, this is almost the trend that we've seen in financial markets in every sector, is passive money taking charge. David, let's get your input, because even recently we even saw fund manager Paulson wind up his gold fund, although a lot of that did seem to be personal money. It seems like that's going to be more in just private holdings, but it continues to be a trend of undervalued or really underinvested specific companies for the sector.
Yeah, absolutely. Tony, you mentioned that. You know, usually when you see a high profile person get out of a sector like that, it usually constitutes a bottom. He did really well with his fund earlier. And I think to quote a Rick Ruleism, he stuck around for the pain, but he's not going to be around for the gain. But as far as financings are concerned, you know, you're still seeing them, but they have kind of dried up. We saw a big one here with Orezone financing strategically their Bombore project for $45 million. But they are dried up a little bit here, and it's almost like they're waiting for the next shoe to drop, for the big merger to be announced. You know, that big M&A announcement that will get everybody off their feet and interested in the sector again and get some more deals going.
Yeah, well, even 2 weeks ago, you and I talked about the M&A activity that happened on that Monday, but again, in some of those deals, somewhat lower quality deposits. But this also speaks to the overall sector where we're seeing producers actually make money and generate a nice cash flow, but not getting any love from the market, and then not injecting that money into other companies through M&A and even through equity positions. Hugh, what have you seen from the corporate executive level in terms of having some of your discussions with these majors that are continuing to build up nice cash positions?
You know, I'd say my general observation would be that the intermediates and the seniors are mostly the seniors are timid. You know, they're looking at their valuations, their P to NAV, so their price relative to their underlying net asset values have declined over the last couple of years. One stat would suggest coming from 1.4 down to 1, so a 40% drop in their P to NAVs, and they're feeling timid about what they do and what their boards are going to be comfortable in terms of M&A activity. And yet at the same time, as you point out, these companies are making a lot of money today at $1,300 gold, $1,350 gold. They're making better than 30% margins on their all-in sustaining costs, which you know are typically in the range of $800 to $1,000 an ounce. So those are good margins, and that's cash going into these businesses. They are deploying some of that in equity investments in juniors. According to RBC, it's in the order of $1 billion over the last 2 years that have gone into juniors from majors in the way of equity placements. And they are active, certainly relative to the institutional market. But there's a lot more that that can be done. I think once we see some confidence come back into the majors, that'll trickle down to the rest of the sector.
I think that's a good comment because it does all come down to confidence. And David, maybe you can talk to this dealing with your subscribers, is that if we're not seeing huge confidence coming out of the majors who are producing some nice financial results, then that also carries over to the retail investors, to the institutional investors, that they lack some confidence too. A lot could be because it's been such a boring sector for now, again, over a year.
Absolutely, yeah. As far as confidence is concerned, the insiders and management at Barrick are real confident. They keep buying shares. And John Thornton, the chairman over there, bought over $3 million in the open market in Barrick stock. Barrick usually bottoms before the sector does. It did in 2015, and it looks like it's creating one here. So also, you have the Newmont chart looks really good, too. So those are the two largest gold miners in the world, so that is something constructed to look at for sure.
Well, it's always good to look at insider buying, and Hugh, I have to say, you just finished purchasing about 50,000 shares of Revival, so that is, I always think, a nice sign when you do see management having some confidence in their own stock. But can we talk about some of the conversations that you've been having from a corporate level, Hugh, with a company that seems to be cashed up? You have a drill program that is going to be starting very soon. What's the response been that you've been getting from investors and other analysts? Because, quite frankly, you do have other analysts at major institutions covering you.
Yeah, we are well covered. I've got to be really happy with that. I think I think the market in Toronto certainly and in Vancouver amongst the institutional funds is still in a wait and see mode. Feeling a little more confidence out of the folks we speak to in Australia and in Europe. Those markets are doing better, and I think there's more appetite there for junior mining today. But these things move around, and in terms of what we do in this sort of environment, I think we just stick to our knitting, continue to do the good technical work that takes us to the resource update we have coming out in June, get our drill programs planned and the network that we're going to be undertaking this year underway. So all of that good work is ongoing. And then secondly, I'd say we have our eyes open for opportunities in the space to potentially grow our portfolio, because as we've talked about, the gold price is strong. It's up over the last 3 years here, and the opportunities are well priced, and we're looking. We think this is a good time to be adding to our portfolio if we can find a complementary asset to do so.
David, let's get your comment on that, because you do follow Revival, and both you and I have talked at length about how we think the market just is not paying enough attention to this stock. What do you think about the strategy there that Hugh is employing? First of all, drilling, but then also looking to acquire maybe some other properties. What's your comments, and maybe another question for Hugh, what you're looking forward to?
Yeah, that is a great strategy, because like Hugh says, he's got the great team in place. He's got plenty of cash. This is a great time to be looking for another project to diversify a little bit. My question would be: Are you seeing anything compelling right now? I know you probably can't tell me if you're close to pulling the trigger, but are you seeing anything out there? And if you are, where would you be looking? Would you be staying in North America?
Yeah, David, we'll focus in North America. I think I think we've seen that the premium for quality geography is really gone up, and we've seen the problems that can happen in outside of North America and some of these more difficult places. So we'll stay in North America. It's our sweet spot. We're in Idaho now. We like Idaho. We like the Western United States. We like Canada, and so we'll be hunting in those jurisdictions. We've got a really good team together looking at opportunities. I wouldn't say anything's imminent at all. We don't feel any urgency to do anything. But as we've been discussing here, there's good value in the space right now. And whether you're an investor investing in good opportunities or a company wanting to build a growth company in gold, as we are. This is the time to be active. This is the time when you go out and lay your trap lines and make your moves. And when the rest of the street wakes up to what's happened here, this big dichotomy between global gold production and global gold discovery. So remember, that's the underlying theme for us. There are no new projects. There is no great big discovery that's going to close this gap between what the producers are producing and what the explorers are discovering. And if one can assemble a quality portfolio of assets that can help address that void, I think the street will wake up to it, and there'll be revaluation and reward for taking that risk.
This also ties into the majors again building up cash positions because they are making money. Eventually, that shoe's going to drop where they're going to finally have to start to acquire some of these projects. But again, we just don't know when that'll happen. There's another aspect of the company that I do want to quickly get your update on, Hugh, and that deals with the resource update. I know resource updates may be a little bit of a sensitive topic this week because of what happened with Balmoral, which David and I did cover earlier this week. But the market, again, I think is watching, waiting for what comes out of Revival. What kind of update can you give us?
Well, I can tell you that we're making really good progress. We have a super team. We're blessed with a VP Exploration and Steve Priestmeier, who's very high quality, does super work, and leads a really strong team. Our general manager in Idaho, Pete Blakely, is a former general manager for the operation at Bear Track, so he certainly understands the situation very well, the data, the operating environment, and the opportunities. So we start with a really first class team. We're in a brownfield situation, so we've actually, this deposit area has been mined before, so we can feel really comfortable about the information we have. We've done unlike a lot of folks, we took the step of doing a confirmation drilling into the historic resource to give ourselves added confidence in the data we have, and to do that with core drilling so that we can feel really good about where the results are coming from and what they mean. We're through the QAQC steps. We've now got over 480 drill holes in the database, including 13,000 meters of new drilling. As you may recall, the historic resource at Bear Track is 1.3 million ounces at a 1 gram cutoff on the blocks. We've done some initial economic work now to look at how we'll constrain the resource for our update, and I think we'll be able to work with a lower cutoff grade than 1 gram a ton. Most of our peers certainly are, and so we're feeling good about the update. And I think if there's a surprise at Revival Gold, we always strive to make it an upside surprise rather than a downside surprise. So that's about all I can say.
Hey, Hugh, I really hope that it is an upside surprise, and it's one of the reasons why we're covering you on our site, because I do think that you guys do have a lot going for you. I'm excited to see what that resource brings. David, let's get a final comment from you involving what Revival is doing in terms of exploring more brownfields, also dealing with a past producing mine. They have a lot of data that they're building out and understanding, but then also developing their own data. This is a strategy that I've seen other companies employ that I really like. How do you feel about the strategy?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's fantastic. And I'm really excited about Arnett Creek. I mean, that's not as brownfields as where they're doing at Bear Track. And I know they have 2,000 meters of drilling coming up there. So I'm really looking forward to seeing with what they're going to come up with there. But I know also the town of Salmon is really close. And last time I spoke with you, they were thinking about setting up an office there. Are you close to doing that, or are you going to be doing that this season?
Yeah, we're underway with that. Actually, the office is open and staffed. We've got three or four folks working out of the office in Salmon as we speak. That's where the technical work is taking place. And I'm glad that you raised the Arnett Creek property position, which, of course, is right next door to Bear Track. That is where a lot of our blue sky is. David, you've had the benefit of being out at Bear Track, and you can see that the opportunity there is quite clear. And at Arnett Creek, we really haven't had any modern exploration there, and we're excited to get back in there later this summer.
All right. Well, there everybody has it. Kind of two looks at the resource sector and some interesting data that we're seeing in terms of which investors are in and how they're investing their money. It's always great reading over your newsletter, David. And Hugh, I do appreciate you taking some time and keeping us up to date on what's going on with Revival. The exploration is going to pick up here soon and a resource right around the corner. This continues to be a company that I appreciate what they're doing and think that they could be onto something. But again, the market still, at the time being, needs proof before people seem to jump in. If anybody has more questions for Hugh or David, please always be sure to comment, or even better, email me at fleck@kereport.com. And everybody, I hope that you have a great Easter weekend, whether you're spending time with your family or just taking a little time away. It's great that you all tune in and share your thoughts with us and our family on our website. Thank you, guys, and everybody, enjoy the second hour.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.